It's good to be with you tonight, folks. I know the hour is far spent, but we need to turn to the Word of God in this final harvest service. And our prayer would be that tonight, if you're gathered in and you're not saved, and you get into this meeting, you still know not Christ as your Savior, our prayer would be that in the closing moments of this harvest weekend, that you would come personally to know and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. I know not where you stand before God this evening, but I trust that you will know before the end of this night that you are standing right with God. Turn with me in God's Word to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in the chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and I fit into this chapter very well, for I'm a son of the soil. I was brought up on a farm, not an arable farm, but we did work quite a number of cattle, about 400 cattle. And so this is why I am the size that I am, and I speak the way that I speak. I just keep it plain and country. And this is all about the country here in this chapter. Matthew chapter 13 and the verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow seed? Good seed in thy field. From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns." And then we'll go down to the verse 36 for the Lord's explanation and exposition of this parable. Verse 36, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. This field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Amen, and we trust that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word this evening for his own name's sake. Let's just bow briefly in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has gone before already in this meeting. Lord, we thank thee for the singing of the men's choir and for the Mitchell family. We thank you, Lord, for our sister who brought the word of testimony. We thank thee for the work of grace that thou hast wrought in our life. And, O God, we pray that now as we come to the preaching of thy word, that thou would settle our hearts, give us ears to hear. And, O God, we pray, give us hearts to receive thy word. And, O God, if there's a heart as yet who has not received Christ, O God, we pray that they'll not only receive the word, but all that they might receive the living word, the Christ of God. And our Father, tonight I pray that thou wouldst come and give me help as I come to minister thy word, that I might be a faithful servant, Lord, that I might be pleasing unto thee. But, O God, I ask thee that thou wouldst take these lips of clay and touch them with that live coal from off the altar. Lord, you know the weakness of the body and of the mind and of the flesh. But, Lord, we thank thee that we trust not in the arm of flesh. We're trusting in our God, and we pray that thou wouldst come and fill this preacher with the Holy Ghost. Most of all, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst speak, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldst speak to the hearts of men and women. O God, bring conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And O God, we pray that there'll be a turning from sin tonight and a looking on to Christ, who alone can save. Come now, Lord, speak and save, we pray, for thine own glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Very often when the Savior preached the gospel, he used illustrations and he used parables. Parables are, in essence, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a very simple explanation, but that's what a parable is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Indeed, on different occasions, the Lord, he took his illustrations from the countryside and illustrations from everyday life experiences. His parables were earthly stories. And here in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord used a number of parables as he teaches the people and explains the gospel. And included in them is the parable of the sower, the well-known parable of the sower who sowed his seed, and some fell along the wayside, and some fell among the thorns, and some fell upon stony ground, and some fell upon good ground. And very often, that's how it is when a preacher gets up to preach the Word of God. There's four types of people in the congregation. There are those that are hardened like the soil along the wayside. And we trust tonight that if that's a situation of your heart, you've got hardened to the gospel, our prayer would be that the Spirit of God would take a dealing with your heart tonight and would soften your heart, that you might receive not only the gospel, but that you'd receive Christ. See, the Scripture says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Unless you should be suddenly destroyed tonight, our prayer would be that if your heart is hardened, that it might be touched tonight, or that you might be saved. And then there is the thorny ground. Those people that have so many things going on in their life, and they hear the gospel, and it bears some sort of root, but then other things come up and choke it. And oh, tonight, we trust and pray that if you're not saved and you hear Christ speaking to you tonight, that you'll not leave it till tomorrow, until the thorns will come up and steal away. Steal away the good seed, the stony ground. Oh, that your heart would not be stony tonight, that the heart, Lord, would give you a heart of flesh. But oh, tonight we trust and pray that there's good ground here. We trust that maybe you have come tonight with a softened heart, a heart that's looking for salvation, a heart that's looking for peace with God. Well, thank God tonight, if that's what you're here searching for and no one else knows, thank God tonight you can have peace with God. You can be saved. Isn't that wonderful? You can know your sins forgiven. You can have peace with God. You can be born again. But immediately after the parable of the sower and the seed, the Lord teaches the people the parable of the wheat and the tares. And in this parable, he speaks of a man who sowed good seed in his field. And no doubt, the man, he sowed the seed and he looked at it, the job was done, he closed the gate and he went home and he waited for the coming up of the seed. Waited for the seed to bear fruit. I can remember just as a child, and you got the little box and you put the seed in and you sprinkled the lattice seed over and you waited for the little seeds to peep up. That's what the man did. Sowed the good seed. Closed the gate. He was waiting for the coming up of the seed. And then eventually the harvest, like any farmer would, and expectation. But while this man slept, his enemy came. And they went into the field and they sowed the tares amongst the wheat that he had sowed. It was a wicked thing for the enemy to do, to try and destroy this man's crop. Oh, there must have been some jealousy. There must have been an awful bitterness in their heart, but they couldn't stand to see this man having a crop of good corn. And so they came in and they sowed the tares among the man's good seed. Sowed tares. False grain. And that's the awful tragedy today that happens so often. Someone comes to a meeting and they hear the good seed of the gospel and they know that they need to be saved, but they do nothing about it. And they go out and they may speak to somebody about it, maybe some other minister who knows not Christ, and they say, oh, no, no, you don't need to be saved. You've been christened and you've been confirmed and you've been baptized and you've been all the rest and you don't need to be saved. Oh, that man's sowing the tares. Sowing false grain among the good seed. Sending souls to hell. But that's what happened. This man sowed good seed. The enemy came, sowed in the tares. Now, at first, it wasn't noticeable what the enemy had done. However, when the wheat began to spring up, when the good seed began to take root and spring up, the tares, they sprung up as well. And then all was revealed. You see, sin and wickedness, the tares, sin and wickedness will always be revealed. And listen, maybe there's something that you think you can get away with tonight. Maybe there's a young person and you think you can go down the town and you've been brought up in a godly home, but you think you can go into the public house and mommy and daddy will know nothing about it. Well, maybe not immediately, but one day you'll be caught out. And your sin will be revealed. And listen, maybe you're here tonight and if you're an older generation and there's something in your life and you think you've got away with it, listen, I'm telling you, there's a day when it'll all be revealed. For there's nothing hidden, the scripture says, that shall not be made known. Can I say this? You may think that you can get away with your sin and no one will know. And maybe no one else will know, but God knows. The scripture says, be sure your sin will find you out. And if you're not found out in this world, you'll be found out when you stand before the judgment seat of God, of Christ. Matthew 10, verse 26, as I've said, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. And here in Matthew chapter 13, in the parable, the work of the enemy, it has come to light. Their sin is revealed. And so it will be for you. Listen, if you're not saved, this is how it will be for you. Your sin will be revealed. That sin that no one else knows about. That sin that you think you have covered. That sin that you think you have covered over. It will be revealed. Unless you get it under the blood of Christ. And ask the Lord to cleanse you from your sin and to save you from your sin and to save your soul. You see, one day in glory, the books will be opened. The books will be opened and all will be revealed. And that sin that's working on your conscience, no one might know about it. But there's coming a day when all will know about it. For the books will be opened. Can I say this in passing? This parable reminds me of those who almost think that it is their duty or their calling, even in churches, to sow the seeds of discord among brethren. Busy bodies. The Bible would call them busy bodies. And one day your wicked work will be revealed, for God will make certain of that. God will judge such people that sow the swords of disunity. God will reveal them one day. But anyhow, this man which sowed the good seed in the parable, he was left in a dilemma now. What was he going to do? The tares were coming up with the wheat. What could this man do about it? What was he going to do? How would he resolve the problem? Nowadays, he would have hooked on the sprayer onto the back of the tractor and he'd have spread the weeds, he'd have killed them all, and that would have been simple enough. But they hadn't got that means back then in the Bible times. There were no tractors and there was no sprayers and there was no pesticides. Everything had to be weeded by hand, but there was a danger. There was a danger that if they went in and pulled up the tares, that they'd loosen the wheat and destroy the crop. There was a danger of destroying the harvest. And so this man, he told his servants, he says, just let it be. Just let it be. Let everything grow together until the harvest. Just leave it alone for now. And at harvest time, then they could separate them. Harvest time would be a time of separation. And at harvest time, they could gather up the tares and put them in for the burning. They could gather up the wheat and bring it into the barns. In verse 30, he told his servants, let both grow together. Let it be. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barns. Harvest time would be a time of separation. I tell you, there is coming a day, a harvest day, spiritual harvest. Coming a day of judgment, a day of reckoning. Sad to say, that'll be a day of separation for some. A day when the sins of every man will be revealed. And all the secret things shall be brought to light. There's coming a day when the work of the enemy will be burnt up like the tares. And a day when the sowers of tares and the seeds of disharmony, they'll be exposed and judged by God forever. There's coming a day of judgment. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die. That's not the end. Some men like to think it is, but it's not. For it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Are you ready for that? I wonder when that day of judgment comes, what will it be for you? When this world is over, when the journey's run, when the Savior comes again, what will be the end for you? Where will you spend eternity? What will it be for you? Will you be gathered up in bundles for the burning? Or will you be gathered in to the Father's house? Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you saved? That's the question that you need to answer tonight. For we know not what a day will bring forth. I want you to notice as quickly as we can three things about harvest time. Harvest times is a time of preparation. You know, there's a wonderful wee passage about harvest preparation to be found in Proverbs 16. Little ant. In Proverbs 6, in verses 6 to 8, it says, go ye to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. You see, the little ant is making preparation. Even that little ant, harvest time is a time of preparation for her. She's preparing for the cold, hard, long days of winter time. The little ant, it's making preparation. Indeed, many other little animals at this time of the year do exactly the same. Very often you see the little squirrels skirting across the roads and into the woods. What are they looking for? They're looking for food to store it away. They're making preparation for the winter time, for the long, cold winter days. Making preparation. The farmer does exactly the same. He cuts the grass. I've done it many times. Cuts the grass. He either bales it into the big bales or he stores it up carefully in the silo. He covers it. He looks after it. He's making preparation for the winter. He's making preparation in the harvest time for the winter season. And likewise, he takes the combine into the fields of grain and he goes round and round the field from morning till late at night, taking the barley in, taking the wheat in. What's he doing? He's making preparation.
in the harvest times, for the days of judgment, the cold, wet, dark days of winter, days of judgment. He's preparing for winter. He's getting the crops in. He's getting ready. He's making preparation. But sadly, while there's so much preparation being made in the harvest fields and at harvest time for the coming days of winter, how few, and this is a sad reality, how few today are actually making preparation for the coming judgment of God. They'll make preparation for the winter time, the judging days, the trying days of winter. They'll make preparation for that, but how few are making preparation for the great judgment of God? And maybe there's a farmer, no doubt there's a number of farmers in the meeting tonight, and you've got all ready in the yard. You've got the silage in. You've got the wheat in, you've got the barley in, you've got the straw in, you've got everything ready. Oh, the cattle sheds are washed. Maybe the cattle's already in. You have made preparation. But what about your soul? Have you been so busy making preparation for the animals that you forgot about your soul? And tonight you're not saved. I'm from a farm. And I know the way farmers think. I know what happens in the farm. Farming's a disease, I say. You'd need a blood transfusion to get rid of it. But they're so careful about the animal that they forget about their soul and neglect their soul, and they die without Christ and they go to a lost eternity. That's the sad reality. Oh, tonight, you need to stop. Think about your soul and where you'll spend eternity. You've got the kettle in. Would you not get in tonight? Would you not get right with God? Would you not ask the Lord to save you? You've made preparation for everything. But you're still like the rich farmer. I will say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Oh, maybe you're here tonight and you're a farmer. You think I'm picking on you. I'm concerned for your soul. What if the Lord should say to you, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. If the Lord should say that, where shall your soul be before the morning dawns? For the harvest time is a time of preparation. Maybe you have to say with the scriptures, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I'm not saved. Thank God you're here tonight. Make preparation. Repent of your sin. Get right with God. Ask Christ to save you. Harvest time is also a time of reaping. In our parable of the wheat and the tares, the farmer told his servants in verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. The harvest time would be a time of cutting down, a time of gathering up, a time of bringing in, a time of burning. Be a time of reaping. That's still the way that it is. The farmer either in late autumn or after the crops have been gathered in, if the weather's good. If not, he waits till the springtime. But he goes out into the field and he'll spray off the grass, he'll kill off the weeds, and then he'll go in with the plough and he'll plough the field, and then he may take out the harrow and he'll harrow it until the ground, the soil is all broken up and nice and fine, and then he'll go in and he'll sow the good seed like the farmer. He'll sow the seed and he'll wait, he'll close the gate and he'll wait till the next year comes, the next harvest comes, and then he'll go in. And he'll reap down the crop.
the circle of the farmer from year to year. The summer passes, the days begin again to shorten. The farmer goes back into the field with his harvester to reap that which he has sown. And you know the wonderful thing is, and it's nothing strange about it, if he has sown barley, he'll reap barley. If he has sown wheat, he'll reap wheat. If he has sown potatoes, he'll harvest potatoes. And so forth and so on. Whatever he sows, that's what he'll reap. That's the law of the harvest. It's also the law of the spiritual as well. What you sow in this life, you will reap. In Matthew chapter 13, when the Savior was explaining the parable to the disciples, the parable of the wheat and the tares, he said to them, in verses 37 to 39, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Who's that? That's Christ. It's the seed of the gospel. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Notice what he said, the harvest is the end of the world. Reverend McCrae asked me, had a hymn that I wanted to sing, says I could sing when the roll is called up yonder. The end of the world. When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? Will you? Have you made preparation? The harvest is the end of the world. And at that time, when the Lord comes again, he'll send his reapers. He'll send the angels. And it'll be a time of reaping. When the Lord comes again, that's going to be a time of reaping, a time of gathering in, and a time of burning as well. Gathering in and casting out. But notice what will happen at the Lord's harvest. Verse 41, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all them which do iniquity." This is the unsaved. Is that you? Unsaved. And look what it says. "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. And there shall be weeping, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." That's the end of the unsaved. A furnace of fire. Now this is not what I have written. It's not what the Reverend McCrae has written. It's the word of God. "They shall be cast into a furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth in the Lord's harvest." The ungodly, the Christ rejecter, the unsaved will reap what they have sown. Having sown to the flesh, they will reap in their flesh the consequences and the condemnation of their sin and their rejection of Christ. And they shall be cast into a furnace of fire. Minister one time was called to a home. Someone had passed away. The family wanted the minister. They looked at the minister and they said, "Where is he?" Minister didn't know if the deceased was saved or not. He was left in quite a quandary. Didn't want to cause offense or more hurt. But he had to be faithful. They said, "Where is he?" Minister replied, "He's the place of his own choosing." You think of that. Where you spend eternity will be the place of your own choosing. And if you choose to reject Christ, then your soul will be cast out into the furnace of fire. And you'll not be able to blame God or anyone else. That's your choice. I wonder, what will it be for you? Furnace of fire? Is that what it will be for you? You will reap what you have sown, and if you turn your back on Christ and reject him, then at the judgment he will reject you. But you made that choice. Now what will it be for you? What will be your choice tonight? Oh, how different it will be for those
who humble themselves and repent of their sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It says in verse 43, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." The unsaved cast them out for the burning. The saved gather them up to the Father's house. Now, what will it be for you? What's your choice? Harvest time is a time of preparation. Oh, listen, if you're not saved, make preparation tonight for death. For we know not what the day will bring forth. Make preparation for your death and for your judgment. Harvest time is a time of reaping. And one day we'll all be cut down. But where will our soul be? Harvest time is also a time of gathering. In the parable, the harvest time would be a time of reaping and a time of gathering to gather. The reapers would go into the field, they'd cut down the harvest, they'd cut it down, and then they would gather the tares into bundles, and they would gather the wheat into the barns. Time of gathering. Verse 30, the farmer told his servants, "Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." It's a time of gathering. Harvest time has always been a time of gathering. Even the harvest hymn reminds us of that. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. I remember so well when I was a lad, we would take the tractors and we would have to travel maybe 15, 20 miles or so, and we would go to those that grew the straw. We didn't grow any crop. But we would take the tractors and we would go and we would arrive in the field. It was the days before the big bales or even the sleighs and behind the baler. And the bales would be, the little bales would be scattered here, there and everywhere around the field. And you'd have to go and gather them up. Maybe you had a 1,000 bales to gather up to bring home. It was a time of gathering. We also had about 5 acres of orchard. And in the harvest time, the apples, they had to be picked. But the windfalls, those that the wind blew down, they had to be gathered up. The ones that you picked went for processing into tarts and so forth. And the windfalls, they went for the juicing. They went to be crushed. But they had to be gathered up. It was a time of gathering. And so it will be in the Lord's harvest. There will be a time. It'll be a time of gathering. Nothing will be left behind. All will be gathered up. But as we see in the parable, when the Lord sends forth his reapers, when he sends forth his angels, there's going to be 2 gatherings. There will be the gathering of the tares for the burning. And there will be the gathering of the wheat for the barns. 2 gatherings. As we've said before, the unsaved, they'll be gathered together. All that's in the congregation tonight, if the Lord should come now, you'll all be gathered together. And this is the tragedy. Gathered together for the burning. And the saved will be gathered together for the glory. Unsaved gathered together for the burning. The saved will be gathered together to rise up and to meet the Lord in the air. A time of gathering, a time of separation. Maybe there's a husband and wife here, and I say, I don't know. A husband and wife here tonight, and one's saved and one's not. And if the Lord should come, the saved will be gathered with the saved to meet the Lord in the air. The unsaved will be gathered with the unsaved for the burning. Maybe there's a mother and a son. Maybe a father and a daughter, and you're sitting side by side until the Lord should come. One of you is saved and one of you is not saved. And if the Lord should come at this very moment, and we know not the day nor the hour, there'll be a parting, a separating, and a gathering. But you'll not be gathered together. The unsaved will be gathered with the unsaved, and the saved will be gathered with the saved. I don't know
your circumstances tonight, but you do. The Lord knows. And if the gathering should happen tonight, where will you be gathered to? Oh, tonight, time's gone. But you have still time to get right with God. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. Don't let it be said of you tonight, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I went to see a wee woman. Didn't belong to our congregation. Oh, such a godly wee woman. Last time I went to the home was just about a week, 10 days ago, maybe. She was in great form. She was 87. She was like a poker, mind you. But the nurse came into the home and she says, Charlotte, need to see you. Charlotte, she jumped up out of the chair. She was 91. No stick, no Zimmer, nothing. Way out after the nurse. I thought, well, I'll sit here a wee while and I'll talk to this other wee lady and the other wee ladies as well. Well, 2 or 3 minutes, Charlotte came walking back in again, big smile on her. She said, you've done well, Charlotte. She says, I'm perfect. Next message I got about Charlotte was, Granny's very ill. She's not going to make it. We know not what a day will bring forth. You don't have a pain or ache. That's no guarantee. None. Tonight, get right with God. You know what the sad reality is? There's men that have brought in big bales, wrapped them. They'll never take the plastic off them. Someone else will do it. Men have put silo into the silo. They'll never cut it out. Someone else will do it. There's maybe someone will bring the groceries in this week, but they'll never open the loaf. Someone else will do it. Where will their soul be? Where will your soul be? If you hear the Lord speaking to your heart tonight, oh, get right. Get right with God. Someday your day will be over. Be gathered in. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity to come tonight and to preach Thy word. But, O God, the words of man can accomplish nothing, but, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak on to the hearts. Lord, Thou knowest the heart. Thou knowest those who have been too busy to take time for Thee, and as yet tonight they're not saved. Lord, save them tonight, we pray. The backslider, Lord, that has been so busy that they've wandered far from Thee, Lord, bring them home tonight, we pray. Lord, while the voice of man is silent, speak on, save and restore. And Lord, teach us to live each day for Thee, for one day we'll stand at Thy judgment bar. Lord, challenge us all tonight. This harvest time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I'd like to thank God's servant for the word this evening. If there's someone here tonight and you say, well, I'm not saved, and I'd love to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I beg you in God's name, don't go home without the Lord tonight. Don't go home tonight unsaved. May this be the greatest night in your life. You'll trust Jesus Christ. May this be the greatest harvest. You look back and say, thank God that night, the harvest in the hill, I got saved. I got gloriously saved. If you'd like to speak to our brother, Reverend McKee, or myself, please don't go away. May God bless you and thank you for coming to the Lord's house. Please get right with God. May God bless you till we meet again. Amen.